interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National alert.
Secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your hearts stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
Of the sky and to high strangers around the globe. This is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Here's one that caught my eye, a story from Mexico. Apparently, a fight broke out in a small Mexican town over three dogs. A couple of neighbors fighting in the street. The cops got called. Cops say there they found a 39-year-old man arguing with his neighbor. The neighbor said that he believed the man had done something harmful to his dogs, that he was unable to find the dogs. The police continued talking to the suspect. Eventually, he confessed. Indeed, he did kill the dogs. And then he barbecued them and ate them. That's right. This guy barbecued his neighbor's three dogs and ate them. Them some spicy dogs in Mexico. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulkan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer tonight is Mr. Hardwood Forrest Connor. Good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua. You know, that first story gives new meaning to Three Dog Night.
Very good. That was we need a little butthole rim shot. There we go. Well, you know, I'm always talking about the weird stuff that I've eaten recently, but I still have never eaten a cat or a dog
that you know of.
Yeah, exactly. With some of the stories we read, it makes you wonder if that's kind of a common item in the kitchen at some of these restaurants we visit. Have you ever eaten a cat or a dog?
Not that I'm aware of.
My father told me recently that when he was a kid, he grew up with a family of hunters, and I think he said his brother killed a fox and they ate it.
That'd be like eating dog, probably.
Wild
dog.
But, you know, honestly, I'm not sure if a fox is more closely related to a dog or a cat. I'm not sure about that. What do
They're
you think?
They're in the canine family.
Are they?
They are.
Oh, okay. So, I guess my dad said he didn't like it. It was real nasty, greasy meat. What do you think about that, Investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop?
Yuck. I'm not going to eat a fox, and I'm not going to eat a dog or a cat.
What's the weirdest thing you've eaten? I know we talk about this all the time, but, you know, it never gets old.
It never gets old. I think I had ostrich one time.
Well, ostrich is good.
Yeah?
Ostrich
yeah.
burgers are really good.
It was good.
You ever had an ostrich egg?
No.
No. I actually bought an ostrich egg lamp one time for my mother. That was really cool, but never eaten an ostrich. How are things going at Wright's Coin Shop, Shelley?
Crazy busy, but that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's winter time. Here we are. It's February now, guys. My goodness, it's February. And the good news is we're getting closer to the spring.
Yes.
Yeah, and so far, no big blizzards in our area. That's kind of hard to believe, isn't it?
No, we've had a couple little wannabe scares that turned into be nothing.
Yeah. You know, recently I was talking to Dave Schrader. He was on Coast. As a matter of fact, I was on Coast to Coast AM a few nights ago. And talking about naked ghosts, something we'll get into a little bit more on this show later. A couple nights before that, Dave Schrader of Darkness Radio was on. And I talked to him before, and he was up there in Minnesota, and it was snowing and just miserable and messy. And it was like 70 degrees in Asheville. You guys remember that day, right?
I remember.
That's just nuts, isn't it?
The day before all that rain hit.
Yeah, yeah. So the temperatures are all upside down. By the way, why I'm thinking of this, when Dave Schrader was on Coast to Coast AM, he was talking about some pretty creepy stuff. He talked about this monstrous figure that I'd never heard of before called Rawhead. You ever heard of that?
No.
It's like some kind of, they also call him the Bloody Bones Man. He's some kind of a creature that will appear in your bedroom at night, and he looks like a man with no skin. Like some kind of Hellraiser monster, right?
Ew.
Wouldn't that be horrifying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, Dave was talking about Rawhead. It was a good show with him. He had some... You ever heard of a golem?
Yes.
You know what a golem is?
Mm-hmm.
What's a golem?
Well, I'm not going to give you a definition that you can give me readily.
Stone creature?
Well, not really. I mean, obviously, when you hear the word golem, you think about...
J.R.R. Tolkien.
Yeah, golem. That's G-O-L-L-U-M. But apparently in Jewish mysticism, there's a thing called a golem, which is G-O-L-E-M. And this is a kind of like a robot that can be made by collecting clay together into a voodoo-like form and charging it with some type of purpose, and it goes marching out there like some Frankenstein-esque familiar to do your bidding.
There was an X-Files episode.
About a golem?
Yes.
And it reminds me of the Tulpa business, you know, thought forms. And,
right.
And in fact, Dave brought that up on the show. But it's weird. I was reading about that after hearing him. And the word robot was highlighted when I was reading the story about what a golem is. So I clicked it. And do you know that the word robot was invented by a guy in the 1920s? His name was Karl Kapik. He was Czech. A Czech sci-fi writer. And he wrote some kind of little story. I can't even remember what the heck it was called. I've got it printed here somewhere. But he wrote this story. Here we go. It's called Rossum's Universal Robots. And I thought, wow, how weird would that be to invent a word that everybody knows? Who? And so years later, somebody interviewed this guy, Karl Kapik. And obviously, what are you going to ask the guy who invented the word robot if you get to interview him? You're going to say,
where did you get it from?
Well, right. How'd you come up with this word? And he said, actually, I didn't invent it at all. My brother did. They're like, huh? And he said that he was talking to his brother about this story and these sort of autonomous creatures that he was imagining wandering around, and that he didn't know what to call them, and his brother brought up the Czech word robota, which means manual laborer, and he turned that into the word robots. So I read that, and I thought to myself, isn't that wild? Like, nobody's ever heard of this guy, Karl Kapik, right? Nobody's ever heard of that. But somebody can have that kind of an impact. Just come up with a word one day, and then it's out there forever. And it makes you wonder also, you know, if golems are real. You see this random way that my mind, this ADD type of, I'm all over the place tonight. My brain's racing. We've gone from Rawhead, Bloody Bones Man, to golems, to robots.
Barbecue dogs.
Barbecue dogs. I told you the world's... I think when you read stories for 10 years about strange stuff, it becomes contagious, and you start to go insane a little bit. Can you guys tell it's happening? I'm losing my marbles.
Slowly, I think you just went over that little edge that makes it obvious what's really going on.
That's right. My grasp on reality is slipping. So, on the other hand, maybe that wasn't reality after all. Only I know what reality is.
Or so you think, unless your reality is someone else's reality or someone else's imagination.
Well, I love the idea that when you start researching the paranormal, it really harkens back to this quote by Charles Fort. You can measure a circle beginning anywhere, right? So if you start looking at one weird thing, say ghosts, and you stick with it long enough, eventually you will be led to UFOs, to cryptids, to psychic phenomena, to angels, to demons. All this stuff connects together. And yet there's this tendency to pigeonhole people, you know, like, oh, this is the ghost guy, this is the Bigfoot guy. I find it very interesting when you meet people who have been around the paranormal world so long that they've sort of studied it all, you know. They give you a nice big slice of all the phantasmagoria of weirdness. And that's why I'm excited about our guest on hour number two of tonight. He's one of those guys. He's one of these guys who has just studied so much. I know it's probably an overused cliche, but some people do refer to him as an Indiana Jones type figure. I met him when I was in Colorado recently shooting the Beyond Belief episode with George Norrie. Our guest is going to be Jay Widener. And he is, I believe, the director of the original programming there at Gaia MTV. He is an authority on alchemy and the Hermetic traditions, conspiracies, all kinds of ancient artifacts, and he's a movie producer. One of his movies is about Stanley Kubrick, called Kubrick's Odyssey. And Kubrick, I think, is probably my favorite filmmaker. And for a number of reasons, but Kubrick has often been associated with conspiracy because some people think that he helped NASA fake some of the moon landing footage. You've heard that before, I'm sure, Forrest, right?
I have, but you know, if he helped NASA fake the moon landing footage in 1969, the way he is such a professionist about things, It would have been done until 1975.
Oh, that's true. Maybe he started working on that one in the 50s.
True.
Jay Widener has produced movies about the year 2012 and the year 2013. So we're going to dig into that with him next hour. I can't wait. Who knows where that conversation's going to go. But, hey, I tell you what, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about naked ghosts, because I have something that I bet you've never seen before. And I know it sounds silly when you talk about the concept of naked ghosts, but it actually tells you a lot about what a ghost is. I'll explain. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and we'll dig into all of it right after this.
Good for. I've been in the right place, but it must have been the wrong time. My head is in a bad
Where the unusual becomes usual. Keeping you company tonight, 9 p.m. to midnight, East Coast time. It's called Speaking of Strange, and I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. There is so much weird stuff going on that I don't even know where to begin. That's why I feel scatterbrained sometimes. I look at some of the content I've got, and I'm like, there is no singular thread here except insanity. And, we realized that 2012 was going to be the year that everybody started going nuts. This is the year when they are there, okay? And it's just going to get worse now. The switch has been flipped. And sometimes it's hard for me to believe that it's only February. We've still got a whole, pretty much a whole year of who knows what to happen. I see the look in your eyes, Shelley Wright. You know what I'm talking about.
I know.
You know what happened to me a few days ago?
What?
Every day I read up on the news, and which is a terrible habit. Someday I'm going to stop doing that. I don't even want to know, really. I'm going to move to some island as soon as possible, and I'm not ever going to know anything about what's happening in the world. If it gets extremely hot and I look out the window and there's a mushroom cloud, then I'll know everything went really, really bad finally. Other than that, I don't even need to know. Half the stuff that you read about, you don't need to know that stuff. Do you, Forrest?
Of course not.
It just stresses you out. But every day, I get up, I read all these different news sources. You do the same thing, Shelley?
I do. I'm a news junkie.
You do that, Forrest?
I do.
Yeah. See, we create this world of chaos in our minds. It's using up too many brain cells. Anyway, one of the publications that I look at every day is the Citizen Times. That's our local newspaper here in Asheville. And it's not as easy to look at online as it used to be because they charge you now to look at the newspaper online. So, anyway, I'm scrolling down the different headlines, and there's a headline there, and it says something like, Ghost Hunters Make Movie. And I said, oh, really? Because you know the guys who do the Ghost Hunter show on Sci-Fi, I figured they must be making a movie now, right?
Right.
Isn't that what you would presume?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I click the link, and you know what the story is about?
Hmm.
It's about me.
They wrote a story about you, and they didn't call you and interview about you.
No. I just stumbled upon the story. And I've got it printed out here.
And what did you say? What'd you say in this interview story?
Well, I wrote a script a while back called Shelton Laurel Massacre. And it is about an extremely haunted house that I investigated near the site of the Shelton Laurel Massacre. You remember this, Forrest?
Yes.
And so I've been wanting to make the movie for a while. And I think that it's going to probably take around $675,000 to do it right. So I figured I was going to try out this Kickstarter thing. We've talked about this before. It's one of these public funding deals where if you have an idea for a movie or something creative, you put information on this web page and you have 30 days and then people can pledge money toward it. They're not actually giving you any money. They're just saying, I will pledge this because if you don't reach your monetary goal, you get nothing. So that means basically for 30 days, people can make pledges, and if it reaches $675,000, well, then you'll be asked to honor your pledge. Your pledge could be $10 or whatever.
But it's 30 days. If it doesn't reach that in 30 days,
then no go. Yeah, so it's all or nothing. And so I put this thing on Kickstarter, the Shelton Laurel Massacre movie. It's got 23 days to go, and so far we've raised over $500. So we only have like $674,500 to raise in 23 days, guys.
We're in the home stretch.
It could happen. But so this is an article about that. It says Ghost Hunter seeks public's help to finance film. Asheville Ghost Hunter Joshua P. Warren, who has led ghost tours, written a book of scary local stories, and been featured in television shows probing the macabre.
Probing?
That's not all I probe. Ha-ha! Boom, boom! Is ready to write and direct a feature film. Well, I've already written it. It says, Warren launched a Kickstarter campaign asking the public to donate $675,000 to make a movie about a haunted house near the site of the infamous Shelton Laurel Massacre, which took place in Madison County during the Civil War. Quote, the screenplay is done, and it's full of tension, suspense, and gritty, unflinching reality, end quote, Warren said in his pitch. Quote, and though we'll be working with some special effects pros, this will be the first movie of its kind to actually include real paranormal images in the fabric of the film for an exceptionally creepy and authentic atmosphere, end quote. So it's actually very cool that they published this. And it's got there's a kind of a goofy picture of me there making a face like I'm frightened in my own museum of the Duke, one of our dummies there. But if you want to know about this movie project, go to joshuapwarren.com. There is no period after the P, and you'll see a wanted poster there. And you know what, Forrest? It's worth going to my website just to see the wanted poster, because it is the only photograph of Lieutenant Colonel James A. Keith, the guy who perpetrated the massacre in large part, that I have ever seen. And it's nowhere else online. I mean, you'd think you type in some kind of a famous figure like that. And I mean, I don't know, famous in this area, he's well known among historians, we'll put it that way. I had to go to the Madison County Library and really, really dig through their special collections and stuff to find this one picture of him, and it's not even great quality, but he really looks like a villain. He's got the dark eyes, the black beard, and, you know, just a very intense face. So if you go to joshuapwarren.com, you'll see the picture of him there. It says wanted, like a wanted poster. If you click that, then you can watch a little video where I'm talking about the movie that I want to make, And then you can pledge some money, and, you know, if we get $675,000, we'll make a movie. I'll put Forrest in it. I'll put Shelley in it. And, in fact, Forrest, do you want to, like, smack Shelley around a little bit on camera?
Why would I want to smack Shelley?
Yeah, why would you want to do that?
Well, we need that.
Okay.
We need that, okay. Yes. Because what happened is that the men of Shelton Laurel, they were suspected of participating in this raid. And so these Confederate soldiers go in to get these guys and make them pay for it. And all the guys flee into the mountains and leave their women behind. Because they thought, well, surely these fellow Southerners are going to have respect for our women. Nope. The Southerners go into the village, and the first thing they do is start smacking the women around. And doing some other stuff that's even worse than that. Like, they took an old lady and they put a noose around her neck and they were practically hanging her half to death, you know, pulling her up and down and up and down. And they took one little girl, tied her to a tree, beat her with a stick. They took a woman's baby and threw it in the snow and said, that baby's not coming out of the snow until you tell us where your men are. And that's what finally broke their silence. So it's a crazy story. It's a crazy story. Anyway, go check that out. You know, it reminds me what I just was talking about here of a story from Orlando, Florida. That didn't take long, did it, guys?
No.
We already jumped into a Florida story. But we're also coming up on a break here, so let's take our break. And I'm going to tell you about what happened in Orlando, Florida, when a 29-year-old man got into a big fight with his fiancée. It's one of these weird stories, but hey, that's what we talk about. And I haven't forgotten about the naked ghost thing. We're definitely going to get to that, but it's okay, folks. We've got 3 hours, so just calm down. I'll get to it. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.
Senses real, fatal attraction is holding me fast. How can I escape this irresistible grasp? Can't keep my eyes on the surly sky. Tongue-tied and twisted, just an earthbound.
Around the globe. This is Speaking of Strange, and I am Joshua P. Warren. You know, when it's cold and it's winter time, once in a while you should throw on some music from the warm parts of the world. Something, boy, that ended abruptly.
It did.
Right when I said that, boom, no more of that. Go out and, you know, do something that you do in the islands. Like, I had I had some tropical drinks the other day. I was telling you, Shelley, you know, once in a while, I go out in downtown Asheville, and I have a good experience. And so I just tell people about it on the radio. I'm not being paid to do it. They're not sponsors. You know, it's just nice to know. For one thing, I'm a man about town. And secondly, if people know that I do that, then they'll really make sure I have a good experience, right?
Right.
Because I can come back and be like, ugh, this place is awful. There was a roach in my food. I went to this place I'd never been to before called Dalton Distillery. You ever heard of that?
No.
It's been around about a year and a half. You know where it is, Forrest?
No.
It's on Biltmore Avenue, and it's not too far from the Orange Pill. I go in there with Lauren after she got off work one day, and listen to this. The guy there, he didn't know me from Adam. As far as I know, anyway, betwixt the two of us, we had six premium cocktails. And, like, really, really well done, nice cocktails. And we had a couple of meals. And before I left, he took us over to a freezer, a big refrigerator, full of all kinds of local beers. And we were able to just pick and choose six beers to take with us as a six-pack to go home. All that was $45.
No way.
Isn't that crazy?
I want to go.
It was, I mean, a really good experience. And the only reason I'm saying that is because it's true. Dalton Distillery, and I'd like to see them stay in business.
Now, is he a restaurant? Is he a...
Yeah, well, it's, you know, they have pool tables, and they have, like, a dance space. But, yeah, I mean, we had some great sandwiches there. And he makes these creative cocktails, and, you know, I think he likes to go down to the Caribbean. So a lot of his drinks have kind of like that island flavor, you know.
Yeah.
But I couldn't believe it, because in downtown Asheville, a good cocktail is usually like $10, easy. Sometimes a lot more, actually, but, you know, you can count. So that's six cocktails. That's $60 right there, you'd think. And then with our meals, you'd think, well, that's at least $10 a meal, we'll say. So you think that's like 80, and then we took a six-pack home, we'll say another $10 or whatever. So, you know, you'd expect it to be between 80 and 90 bucks easy. $45? A steal.
Wow.
Yeah, it was nice. Yes, but, you know, it's funny because in Florida, the weather is still pretty nice. I mean, I was in Key West not too long ago, and I saw there that right now the water temperature is like 70 degrees. And yet people are just as agitated in these nice, warm areas. I mean, everybody thinks of Orlando as a vacation central. You, Shelley, have never been to Disney World, right?
Right.
You were robbed of your childhood. I think that... isn't that just a tragedy for us?
It is. You've never been on Space Mountain.
No. No. Does this mean you guys are going to take me to Disney World on vacation?
Do you want to ride Space Mountain?
No, I don't know.
What do you mean by that, Forrest?
I'm saying, does she want to ride Space Mountain, the big roller coaster?
That's what they all say. It's too late for you, Shelley. You can never get that back. You have to sue your parents. I think that's what you should do.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. You should go right into Wright's Coin Shop on Monday, and you should say, guys, I finally seen the light. You stole Disney World from my childhood, and that is an unforgivable sin. You live, 10 hours drive away from Disney World?
12 tops.
People travel around the world. They come from China to see Disney World.
Actually, I think there's flights from Asheville to Orlando.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
That's make it less than 3 hours.
But I don't know. Are you? I mean, what do you like, roller coasters and things like that?
Yes and no.
You know what? I went to Dollywood for the first time last year. I enjoyed that. It's a silly thing.
I've never been.
Yeah, well, all these years it's been there, and I'd never gone. That's what, maybe 2 hours drive from here, and was really impressed. Had a great time. The roller coasters there were awesome.
Now, Kelly keeps telling me it's awesome. You got to go over. We've got to go over there. But
it was a nice surprise. September is a good time of year to go.
Okay.
So, anyway, Orlando, Florida. 29-year-old guy there gets into a fight with his fiance. And at one point, and apparently they had a child, a little, like a one-year-old child there as well. At one point in the fight, he shoves her against a wall, pulls off her engagement ring, stuffs it in her mouth, and puts his hand over her mouth and is trying to make her swallow the engagement ring. And she finally was able to break his grip, grab the kid, and flee, got out of there. And so the cops, you know, came, of course, and they arrested him. And his quote was, "Women always claim assault, but they never accept responsibility for provoking someone," end quote.
What an idiot.
So. Even in vacation land.
They're dumbasses.
They're out there, you know. They could be at Disney World, having fun. I knew a guy who worked for 2 years at Disney World as a Goofy. Yeah. Every day he put on the Goofy outfit. And he got fired. You know why?
Why?
Because, and I swear I'm not making this up, they caught Goofy getting it on with Minnie Mouse. It's true. That's not acceptable at Disney World. That's against so many policies at Disney World. I don't know where to begin. Naked Ghost. That's a good segue.
Yeah.
Because, you know, again, I went on Coast to Coast AM a few nights ago. And a lot of people don't know this. They contact me and they're like, oh, man, I wish I'd known you were going to be on Coast. You should let us know. The truth is, most of the time I'm on Coast, I don't even know I'm going to be on Coast. They call me up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and say, can you come on in 5 minutes and do a report? And I say, sure, no matter how sleepy or whatever I am. And I go on and I do a segment, and then the next day I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't even want to listen. Because I don't know if I sounded like a raving lunatic or not. You know, because I just wasn't planning to go on the show. Most people, if they go on Coast to Coast, I mean, it's a big deal. Millions of people are going to hear you, so they get all nervous, and they get all their notes together, and they have an outline of what they're going to talk about, and they've properly rested up, and they've eaten a good, healthy meal, whatever it's going to take to make this a success. Me, I go on there, and I'm winging it. And people seem to enjoy it, but so I went on, and what are you going to talk about? Well, naked ghosts.
That was sure.
And the funny thing is, on this show, if you listen to this show, you know we have kind of an outrageous sense of humor at times. We have the dark 30 hour when we dig into risque topics. Coast to Coast AM, however, even despite the fact it's on in the middle of the night, it has a very family-friendly format. So, I think when I brought up the topic of naked ghosts, just bringing that up, there, you know, I could just hear the gears spinning in George Norrie's head, and he says to me like, "Okay, well, you know," basically he's thinking, we'll let Joshua do this because he's been on the show a million times. It has never gone too far. But tonight could be the night, right? So I can tell he's very responsible, and he was very cautious about this subject. And that sort of makes you a little bit nervous as well, because I have a photograph of a naked ghost, quote-unquote naked ghost, and it's on my website. Now, the fact of the matter is, if you go to the website, joshuapwarren.com, and you look at this picture, you can see a naughty bit. It's not graphic. I'm not peddling porn here, folks. But it's fascinating that there could exist something that may be a real ghost photo of a naked ghost. I don't know if it's real or not. When we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you why this is so interesting. And also, you know what? I go on Coast, I talk about this. Guess what I have in my hand? An email from a woman who saw a naked ghost. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening.
Do you have the Soggy Bottom Boys performing Man of Constant Sorrow?
No, ma'am. We got a new shipment in yesterday. Sorry, but we just can't keep it on ourselves.
Oh,
the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Next hour, we're going to have Jay Widener on, and we're going to dig into conspiracies, alchemy, the time wave, Stanley Kubrick. I don't even know where this is going to go. I mean, Jay's been on the Lost Book of Nostradamus on the History Channel. He's been on Brad Meltzer's Decoded, one of my favorite shows. He's participated in Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theory show for True TV. He's written all kinds of books. I mean, this is one of the top dogs in the world of mystery, and it's a big honor to have him with us on the show. Naked ghosts. Okay, well, let me tell you why that naked ghosts are important. And, you know, this is ghost hunting season, actually. You'd think that I'd be cheerier. But, you know, I just don't like the cold anymore. But, point is, it is cold. And when it's cold and dry, the electrostatic charges are very, very active. And we have ghost hunts that take place all throughout the winter. Special ones. Some of them we don't do any other time. Go to hauntedashville.com. to see what we have going on. We have some specials right now. HauntedAsheville.com. What is interesting about naked ghosts is that a lot of people just presume, understandably, because they don't put a lot of thought into it, and there's no reason that they ordinarily should, they think that a ghost is the energy that's left over from the human body. But if that's all it is, then shouldn't all ghosts be naked? If that's all it is. The reality is, however, most ghosts are not naked. And so that shows us that a ghost is more than just bioenergy. It's bioenergy combined with all kinds of other interesting energies. And if you want to know more about my thoughts on that, you'll find a video where I dig into it at joshuapwarren.com. But the fact that naked ghosts are rare kind of sent me on a mission years ago to see if I could find naked ghosts. And you hardly ever come across a naked ghost story. There was a guy in 1940 in Mexico who woke up and there was a naked woman kneeling by his bed crying. And then I know that during the war in Iraq, there were some naked ghosts reported, I think in Newsday. But I only know of one photograph of a supposed naked ghost, and it was taken in 1859 in France by a guy named André Adolphe Eugène Desdéry. And you can look at it. It's posted right now at joshuapwarren.com. It's not so graphic that, you know, it's horrible for kids. Or, I mean, actually, kids should not be looking at this, but it's not so graphic that you can make out specific details. Shelley, you're a woman. You tell everybody listening what your opinion is. Is this too much? Who should look at this? Who shouldn't?
Okay, well, kids should not be looking at this.
Okay.
Kids, stay away. Everybody else, hey, take a look.
Okay, and I'm not going to leave it up too long because I don't want to be accused of, you know, having nudity on my website.
What's wrong with nudity?
But it's kind of silly to me. But you can see, you know, the guy's got... He's got a little part there, you know?
A naughty bit.
Yeah, he has a naughty bit.
Naughty bits.
So is this real or not? I don't know. But I start talking about this, and I get this email from this woman. And I'm not going to read all the details here, but she says, "My mammal always lived in the big house on the hill on the corner of Joyner Avenue and Riverview Drive. I grew up in that house. She always told us the house was haunted by the original owner. His funeral had been held in the house. You would always hear sounds, and sometimes things would be moved, and at times you could even see the shape of a person standing in the doorway. I was 6 or 7 when I saw the naked ghost. At first, I thought my grandpa had taken a really early shower or something like that. It was about 2 a.m. or so. I woke up my mammal when I saw him go through the hall without clothes on. I slept in the bed with my mamaw, and my grandpa slept next to us in a half bed. When I woke her, she called out my grandpa's name because she had seen the ghost also. She jumped out of bed with me right behind her and looked at my grandpa's bed. And you could tell there was something laying there, but his head was covered up, so we really weren't sure since we'd just seen him go down the hall. My mamaw jerked the covers down, and sure enough, their grandpa lay sound asleep. We never really talked about it much after that, but my mamaw and I both saw a naked ghost that night, and I could see the scared look in her eyes. I will never forget that. I have so many stories I could tell you, blah, blah, blah. So I wonder, did she see a naked ghost, or was that her grandpa's astral body kind of walking around naked?
Sounds like...
While he was sleeping.
It was his astral body.
We just invented a brand new type of astral form.
Yes, we did.
A-S-S-T-R-A-L. That'll be my next book, Shelley. We'll co-author it.
Okay.
The Astral Body. I'm Joshua P. Warren. When we come back, we will try to class this show up however we can with Mr. Jay Widener. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange.
Very superstitious, writings on the wall.
Speaking of Strange.